I've entitled this message, The Seesaw Battle of the Ages. Fallen Lucifer, once God's cherub created to be a covering, gloated when the deceived woman disobeyed God. And he gloated again and more when her husband partook of the forbidden fruit of knowledge out of love for his wife. And he gloated to the full when Elohim put the disobedient pair out of the paradise of Eden. The old serpent gloated that God's great heart was hurt and that his intentions were thwarted. He gloated at the deprivations of Adam and Eve, now under God's curse and under God's judgment. And now he, put out of heaven, would work with his allied angels to keep the seed of the woman under his dominion and to rob the Almighty One of all his hopes from planet Earth. God had intended that man have dominion over the earth under him. Satan would allow man to have dominion over the earth, subservient to him. Then God made his move. He gave grace to fallen mankind, sweating under God's judgment. Man could still be saved through faith and obedience to God. Let him use his knowledge of good and evil for good, now that he has it. And the adversary was furious. He and his angels had not received grace. Why should man? But God knew that his angels that fell from heaven knew a lot more about God than Adam and Eve, who lived in material bodies on this planet in space. No one had tempted Lucifer. Eve was deceived by a superior power. Adam sinned out of love for his second self. But the devil waited, and he plotted, and he deceived the heart of Cain, Adam's firstborn son. And the wicked one used him to bludgeon the second son to death. Now with Cain in his evil grasp, he would control all the Cainites that came out of the womb of Cain's wife, daughters of Eve. But God, deprived of Abel, gave Eve another son whom he named Seth, meaning compensation. Seth and the Sethites were a threat to the devil, for they and their wives, all from the seed of Adam, lived godly lives. The father of liars could only do one thing, corrupt them through the relationships with the carnal Cainites. So the arch-deceiver began to entice the sons of God through Seth with the daughters of the men of Cain. The allurement and beauty captivated the Sethite men, and they intermarried into the Cainites. And for a whole millennium, the associations, interminglings, compromises, obligations, and enticements leavened the loaf of humanity until only one couple and the three sons and the wives were truly godly. And many others were good men, trying hard to follow the preaching of Noah, but as they helped with the ark project ordered by God, they were vexed and enticed by the temptations all around them until they were sometime disobedient while the ark was preparing. And when God made his next move, flooding the earth with waters of judgment, the ark floated off with only 8 souls. No one knew till the resurrected Jesus preached to the spirits in Sheol that God had given grace to the only sometime disobedient ones who would have held true if God had not waited so long, not willing that any should perish before sending the flood. This latter grace was not understood by the demons held in chains of darkness, and they cursed and screamed, but God doeth whatsoever he will. Now God started all over again, this time with 4 righteous men and their wives. And old Diablos, after 1,500 years of hard work, had to start over again too. But he gloated over the souls lost to God. Howbeit, there were many righteous souls who were saved by faith in God and his typological sacrificial system. Satan found his man, then in Nimrod. And he began to gather all the land into his religious civil government. But God broke his power play and scattered all men with their families according to the grandsons of Noah. For he gave each lineage a different language. The Gomerites could not communicate with those from Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, or Tyrus, even though they were all from Japheth. And was also true with the descendants of Ham and Shem. So they all dispersed by languages to dwell only with those of a common tongue. And fallen Lucifer fumed, but continued through his demonic helpers to corrupt God's son through idolatry. God then chose Abram, calling him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, early Babylonia, away from his idols and all those who worshipped household teraphims or gods. The devil sent spirits of obligation and deception to Abram. dulling the clarity of the call of God, so he would leave the Ur under the leadership of Terah, his father, and not without his nephew Lot and their servants. But God waited while the entire entourage was held up in Haran because Terah was too old to travel. And he shouldn't have been going with Abraham anyway. And God waited when, after arriving at the promised land, the devil enticed Abram and company down into Egypt, where Satan tried to rob the man of God of his wife and all his life. But God turned on the light in Pharaoh's head, and God sent, got Abraham back to the promised land. The old schemer worked to reduce God's promise of a miracle son to a son that merely required an expedient action of evil that good may come from it. And Ishmael was born to be the promised seed. But God opened Sarah's womb and gave them Isaac. The devil put it into the heart of Ishmael to persecute Isaac. But God put it into the heart of Sarah, into the head of Abraham, to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And God changed Abram to Abraham. And God had his Melchizedek, an old slewfoot, made Isaac to be an idol to Abraham. But God sent his servant to Mount Moriah to sacrifice that idol to God. And God became and God became first to Abraham. Fallen Lucifer got Lot into Sodom. And he rose up five kings against Sodom to carry Lot away captive. But God gave power to Abraham and his servants to recover Lot by a night raid into the enemy camp. Now Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Beelzebub pressured Esau to sell his birthright to the deceiver. But God changed Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel, prince with God. And the prince of this world, knowing that Abraham would become a father of many nations, and that through Isaac and Jacob the promised Savior was destined to come, put it into the heart of Laban to deny Jacob his true love, Laban's second youngest daughter, Rachel. But Jacob took her and bought Rachel too, even at the devil's price of 7 years' labor each. And thwarted by Jacob's love, the prince and power of the air made both wives barren, but they gave their handmaids to Jacob to bear sons. God, dissatisfied with this, opened Leah's womb, and she bore sons to Jacob. But the God of this world corrupted them all. And God, having saved Rachel to last, opened her womb and protected her two sons from the devil. And through Joseph, the elder of the two, the firstborn from Jacob's true love, God worked to save Israel from a worldwide famine that the fallen cherub brought upon the sons of Adam. Lucifer's princely demons found their agents in the pharaohs of Egypt. And the devil added to their power through subjugation and by bringing a famine upon all the world, excepting Egypt, thus forcing the nations to come to Egypt, the granary of the world, for food. But the devil had strings attached to God's grain, and Egypt put other lands in tribute to them. And old Smuttyfoot put it into the heart of Joseph's brother to slay him. But God's angel worked on one son to convince the others to sell Joseph instead, and Joseph was found in Egypt. But the omniscient God had seen this coming, and so he had put into the heart of a Semitic Hikas to invade the land of the Pharaohs, and the Almighty gave him the victory. And God put it into the heart of the Semitic governor to take Joseph in and to be benevolent unto him. But then the evil enticer countered by trying to have the governor's wife seduce Joseph, but God's man fled the trap. And the father of liars then put it into Potiphar's wife to lie to her husband about righteous Joseph, and the devil filled the governor's mind with jealousies, and Joseph landed discredited in the dungeon. But Yahweh gave Joseph wisdom and revelation. And God gave Pharaoh a dream. And God worked to have Joseph brought to the king with the interpretation of that dream. And God put it in the Semitic king to elevate Semitic Joseph to his right-hand man. And God put it in Joseph's mind to store the surplus grain. Then God brought 7 years of plenty to fill the granary and 7 years of famine, thus forcing Joseph's sons into Egypt also, where God humbled them under the vice-regent of Egypt, their own brother. But Abaddon, although outmaneuvered, was not out of business. He put it in the heart of a Hamitic Egyptian to overthrow the Hyksos, and through much effort brought his strategy to pass. And then the lawless one put it in a new Pharaoh to slay all the male babies, because fallen Lucifer knew that the baby Moses was to become God's man of the century, the Savior of Israel, undoubtedly the Messiah. But El Shaddai put it in the mind of Moses' mother to hide him in the flags. Satan caused Pharaoh's daughter to find him. God put it into her heart to raise him. And God put it in the mother's mind to volunteer to be his nursemaid and tutor. And God put it in Pharaoh's daughter to accept. And so the cherub grew protected in the palace, learning of Yahweh. And Satan deceived Moses and tempted him to try and save Israel by his own hand. And he set Moses up for a charge of treason, which would get him the death penalty. But God put it in Moses' mind to flee Egypt, and God was with him and revealed himself unto him and called him back to Egypt after Pharaoh that had died to demand that Israel be set free from the bondage in Egypt. Then Belial hardened Pharaoh's heart, but God worked him, Egypt, and their gods over till he agreed, and God's people were set free. The devil fumed in a rage, but he still had a backup plan. He re-entered Pharaoh's mind and caused him to take an army out after the freed Israelites. But Elohim showed up at the meeting place and prevented the Hamites from getting to the Shemites while he arranged an escape through the piled up waters of the Red Sea. And when God withdrew his presence to the east bank, Satan rushed his army pell-mell into the watery jaws of God's trap to their death. Satan, red-faced and down but not out, brought up his big guns to bear upon God's prophet and fired barrages of accusations against him from the mixed multitude till Moses' life was in danger of being stoned. The old murderer gloated, but he counted his vultures before they were hatched, for God favored Moses with his protection. And the devil fought Israel with the Amalekites, but God overpowered them with untrained Israelites, each with a warrior angel within, as long as Moses held up the rod symbol of God's word. The devil fought Israel with murmurings, rebelliousness, jealousies, fears, doubts, and unbelief. But God called Moses into conference with him on Mount Sinai and gave Israel his law and a priesthood and tabernacle, making them into a church. And God had a talk with Aaron and Miriam that settled disputes that the devil had put within. And God brought them to the border of the promised land. The adversary, with mat burns all over his back, retaliated hard. He got 10 out of 12 tribal elders to doubt their ability to enter God's promised land. He caused Israel to murmur again for water. And he got Moses into a righteous indignation and then pushed his mind to be careless with God's instruction about getting miracle water from the typological rock. Hooray! Moses was out. And Israel was unable to receive God's promise. Victory at last. But God exercised his great patience, and he lovingly provided miraculously for doubting Israel as they rode their trikes and circled in the wilderness for 40 years. And then God afresh, with Joshua and the next generation, which entered, overcame, and occupied the land. The devil tempted Achan, deceived Joshua through the Gibeonites into making a league with them not to drive them out of the land and so forth. But God's steamroller chugged on for 7 years, rolling over the land of the Hamites. Satan, badly battered, threw everything he and his evil angels had at Israel, and he had them on their knees under foreign oppressors time and again. But each time they cried unto the Lord, he sent them a deliverer and gave them power to throw off the yoke of the devil's oppressors. The devil, his nose bloodied, tried his next trick. Corrupt Samuel's sons so that the judges that replaced Samuel would be corrupt. But he overdid his job. Israel would not have them rule. This time, however, the wily strategist had two plans. Either Samuel's son would rule as judges, or they would demand a king as other nations, thus rejecting the concept of God being their king. And the latter strategy worked. But God threw a monkey wrench into his plans by selecting the humble king himself and changing his heart into holiness and causing him to prophesy. But the proud king of sin got his second wind, and he filled Saul with fear, pride, and compromise, and ruined God's man. But God had other options, and he still had godly Samuel the prophet, no longer king. So he got Samuel to anoint David to be king. And this raised the hackles on the old dragon, and he tore into David with Saul, Absalom, and Adonijah, but God's man prevailed through the stormy waters and overflowing of the Jordan by the mercies of God, and David sat on the throne. Apollyon now had blood in his eye. He would corrupt God's free moral agent, David. He knew how, and David's foot slipped. But God's stick of chastisement brought him back to the straight and narrow. Demons of adultery overcame God's darling son. But God used Nathan to cause David to see the light of day, and he repented sorely. And the one of all grace forgave him and made him great. And God gave David victory over the long-standing Philistines that held Mount Zion. And Israel put all nations in tribute unto them. And God had won. But the enticer, full of fury, enticed David's son, Solomon, into all manner of vanities and vexations of spirit, into search for pleasure and satisfaction in materialism, knowledge, riches, and ease. But God taught him the vanity of it all. The accuser of the brethren enticed Solomon's heart through many foreign wives and corrupted his worship, but God brought him through it all, howbeit not without spiritual bruises that brought judgment in the form of non-protection in his son's reign. The great rebeller then struck his next blow at Rehoboam, Solomon's son. The devil set up Rehoboam by advice from his young counselors. Then he struck with the weapon of rebellion through Jeroboam, and thus the kingdom of Israel was at last divided. 10 against 2, the 10 for Jeroboam. And the great corrupter corrupted the dissenters till they were all in captivity in heathen Assyria. And he worked on corrupting the southern kingdom of Judah and succeeded. But God retaliated with 2 great revivals under Hezekiah and Josiah. Still the demons fought the free mold agents till they were rotten almost to the core. God then turned to the heathen Nebuchadnezzar to take the Jews into captivity to punish them. And at last, Satan agreed with God's plan. But God surprised his ex-right-hand angel and brought them out humbled and pious. And how did the Almighty Savior arrange this? He made Nebuchadnezzar insane. Then he brought the king to his right mind and caused him to reverence Jehovah and caused all Babylonia to worship God, Israel's God. He raised up the Medes against Babylon and gave them the strategy to overthrow the kingdom in one night. God put Daniel as the chief president of Medo-Persia, and he put it in the heart of Cyrus to let the Jews return to rebuild Jerusalem and even opened the treasuries of Persia to pay for the temple. Solicit the Sumerians to hinder them, Israel's archenemy screamed. Rouse up the Arabians, Ammonites, and Ashdodites against them. But the Jews worked with tools in one hand and weapons in the other, and God brought the enemy's counsel to naught, and the temple of Jerusalem was rebuilt. Satan found a man to do his job next, Alexander the Macedonian, son of Philip. Right for the occult, this young power-hungry man, led on by princely spirits, conquered the known world in 11 years. But after drinking at a party all night, he was invited to another party in his honor on his way home, and there, having twice drank the great big Hooklian cup, he fell down to the floor, seized with a violent fever, and shortly died. And Satan's prince spirits warred with each other through Alexander's 4 generals, killing Alexander's successors, and divided up the pie, then fighting each other for leadership. And the foul fiend enemy found his kind in Antiochus, who yielded to him until everyone called him Epiphanes, meaning the madman. The prince of demons clapped with glee as the demonized king persecuted the Jews and desecrated the temple in Jerusalem. But God would use John Hyrcanus, the Jewish high priest, to break the rod of Antiochus. And the old dragon retaliated by moving the Caesars of Rome and Herod the Great down the chessboard of time to checkmate Israel. But God moved his Baptist on the diagonal, and he advanced Jesus, the Son of God, to the front row. The tempter tempted the king piece of the Jews, but Jesus in the hands of his heavenly Father was played masterfully. The prince of the power of the air slid his Jewish high priest into position and followed up with his king piece, the Sanhedrin. And Jesus was taken off the board for 3 days and 3 nights. And the darkness of this world rejoiced in his triumph. But God got his cross pawn into the devil's king role, bruising his heel. And so he put Christ back on the board behind enemy territory, using him to regather many pawns from the contender. And God moved his apostolic bishops and took more pieces off the old cheater's board. The God of this world moved his Nero piece and took God's Paul off the playing board. Then he trapped God's John piece, but God sprung him free. Back and forth the match seesawed, the devil knocking off Polycarp and others, but God kept winning more pieces too. Satan plunged the world in the dark ages, but God sent his word as a Reformation light, raising up Peter Waldo, John Wycliffe, John Huss, Savonarola, Erasmus, Luther, Melanchthon, Zwingli, Calvin, Farrell, John Knox, Fox, and Roger Williams, and Satan's kingdom lost a lot of ground. The old liar fought back with sleepiness, but God broke his power with Wesley. The deceiver fought back with eternal security, but God whittled it back with Charles Finney. The old serpent fought hard with denominationalism, but God broke his fences through revival. The old roaring lion advanced the communistic Jacobin Club, but God knocked it down in America with a revival led by Jonathan Edwards and Whitfield. The wicked one waved the flag of French atheistic intellectualism, but DeWitt Edwards knocked it down with the banner of Christ and God's word. The deceiver pushed eternal security through the churches, but God drowned it into its own deadness and falsehood by Charles Finney. The great divider brought an industrial collapse. But God used Jeremiah Lamford to start prayer meetings that brought life back into the church again. The devil fought back with intellectualism, but God brought A.B. Simpson and Dr. Dowie to bring holiness and Bible to the people. Satan pushed alcoholism, but God put the taverns out of business in city after cities by Mordecai Ham and Billy Sunday. And God fired his big gun. Pentecost returned, and the shot was heard around the world. Fuming, the hellion launched World War I, but God used it to save many souls who feared for their lives. And God used it to set the nations on their knees, praying for their dads and their sons and their brothers. The wicked one fought back with the flapper era and women's emancipation, so-called. And he added the Great Depression on top of that as icing on his cake. And God countered with a revival that was thought to be the latter rain. And he raised up William Branham, Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, T.L. Osborne, Tommy Hicks, A.A. Allen, O.L. Jagers, William Freeman, Gordon Lindsay, David Nunn, Leroy Jenkins, V.W. Grant, Velma Gardner, Matson Booz, Catherine Kuhlman, Thomas Wyatt, Raymond Hufstra, Maurice Sorello, Richard Hall, Jack Moore, Clifton Erickson, Raymond T. Ritchie, A.C. Valdez, and many others. And the devil knocked off a few of these giants, but millions were healed by God's miracle power. And the lawless one fought back with humanism and the World Council of Churches, but God used the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International to compete with the National Council of Churches for the churches in America. The battle is still raging. The arch-deceiver is moving up its artillery of communism and liberalism, but God is sending his church deliverance, angels, a dancing heart, and a love for Jesus and holiness. And the rest of the sixth millennium war is still to be fought. Sinners are being set free from the prison house of the captor. Saints are being swept out of their place in heaven by the tail of the old dragon. Satan is advancing lies. God is advancing truth. Satan is raising up antichrists, false prophets, false saviors. God is building an army of spiritual warriors armed with the sword of the Spirit. A great falling away is yet to occur on both sides. Gross darkness will cover the land, but God will send his light and it shall be seen. The devil has his man of sin to unveil, and God has his man-child son to unveil. His son shall be manifest to the world. A great confrontation will take place. Our minds and hearts are the battlefield. God, Jesus, Michael and his royal angels, and Gabriel and his revelation angels will fight on the side of the saints of God. Satan, prince spirits, and myriads of demons will oppose the saints to deceive demonized humans and through the mind by temptation. But greater is he that is within us than he that is without. The word of God is our light. The sword of the Spirit is our weapon. The breastplate of righteousness and the loin armor of truth is our defense. The shield of faith is our advanced defense unit. The helmet of salvation is our safety. The shoes of preparation is our outreach. The Lord is our strong tower. Love is our discipline. Holiness is our security. And Jesus is our banner and our company commander. And the Holy Spirit is our life and our wisdom. The battle of the angels will end with a complete rout of the enemy, who will be tried for their war crimes. And Jesus will lead his victorious warriors home in triumph.